And would everyone else who's remaining, would you pray with me? By your light, may we see light. We ask this in the name of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So as I've gotten older, and hopefully a little bit wiser, I've come to realise there are two types of people in the world. People who think that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and people who are wrong. We just watched it last night, it's so fun. One of the things that Robert and I love to do in lead up to Christmas is watch a lot of bad Christmas movies. And there are so many to choose from. And a couple of years ago, we discovered all the Hallmark movies. It's a treasure trove. There's so many. And I realized you can subdivide these movies, or this kind of type of movie, into different types of subdivisions. So, for example, a family member who I will not name in my extended family really loves the subdivision of movies that I like to call talking dog Christmas movies. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If you think I'm kidding, you should Google it. There's a lot of them. So I was watching a really bad made-for-TV, I think, Christmas movie that I think might also be a play called The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Is this familiar to anyone? It's from 1983. It goes a while back. And it's about, you guessed it, a Christmas pageant that gets overtaken by a down-and-out family of rascal children called the Herdmans. They're dirty, they don't normally come to church, they're always running around causing all types of trouble. They steal people's lunches. And they push their way into all the key roles in this pageant because one of the other kids tells them that the pastor is rich and he gives out cookies to all the children who come to church. They are outsiders, and now they're at the center of the story. And when the well-meaning church ladies find out that this family have taken over the pageant, they are horrified. How can one of these children play Mary? Mary is meant to be kind and sweet and quiet. At one point, someone says to the lady organizing the pageant, "Jesus said, suffer the little children, but I don't think he meant the Herdmans." So the pageant goes ahead, and of course, it slowly descends into chaos. And there's this great moment. The shepherds are coming down the aisle to the singing of Silent Night. It's all very peaceful. And they can't find the angel of the Lord, who's one of the Herdman children. So they're calling around, "Where is she? Where is she?" And suddenly from the back, one of the Herdman children runs forward and shouts out, "Hey, hey, unto you a child is born. It's Jesus, he's in the barn." Oh, you should check it out. We are weary. Our lives are busy, and our concerns and our anxieties this year are real. Here we are, 2 years into this pandemic, and we find ourselves facing a new and largely unknown variant. And yet, even amidst these concerns, the busyness of our lives continues, especially in the lead up to Christmas Day. And this combination of busyness and anxiety is somehow totally all-consuming, I think. It's hard to think about anything else, to have time for anything else. It's an inconvenient time to receive an unexpected guest. There's so much noise, it's hard to even think about the good news that is arriving, that is imminent, that's almost with us. How do we hear this message of peace and joy again in this moment? Perhaps this is the angel of the Lord that we need to hear this year. The one that shouts over the noise, "Hey, hey, unto you a child is born." It's Jesus. This is such a familiar story. Even as a child, I didn't grow up in the church. I knew this part of the Bible. Mary is very pregnant and she's traveling to Bethlehem with Joseph to be registered. And they find that there's nowhere for them to stay. And so Mary gives birth in a stable. It was an inconvenient time to be traveling while pregnant. And it was an inconvenient place in which to give birth. I think this is really glossed over in the text. Anyone who's been present at a birth will have a better sense of the long, grueling, gritty reality of giving birth anywhere, let alone in a stable. It's hard to even fathom what that must have been like. And in the midst of this busyness, in the midst of these inconveniences, at what must have felt like exactly the wrong time and exactly the wrong place, God arrives. In this tiny newborn baby, God is with them. And this uniquely holy moment, this incredible mystery, appears in the midst of the most everyday and ordinary thing, the birth of a new baby. This most painful and difficult thing, the birth of a new baby to a teenage girl in a stable, no mother to support her, no women from her community to teach her how to breathe, tell her when to push. Emmanuel, God with us, is ushered into the world not by religious leaders or by those with power or influence, but by a young, unwed woman and the man who stood by her side. This is not the arrival we might have expected. How silently the wondrous gift is given. As we know, Mary and Joseph have to travel to Joseph's hometown to be registered. And this is because of the decree we heard about in Luke's gospel today, made by Caesar Augustus, that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. No one was to be left out. Registering people, of course, made them a resource that could be taxed to raise money for the Roman Empire. I wonder whether one of the reasons Mary and Joseph couldn't find somewhere to stay is because there were so many other people also traveling at the same time to be registered. There must have been other visitors to Bethlehem. It must have been a really busy time. But did you notice that there are people in our story who are not part of this busyness, of this movement? Emperor Augustus declares that the whole world must be registered. That's how the NRSV translates it. But the shepherds stay in the fields. Apparently, the whole world did not include them. Perhaps they were not considered important enough, or perhaps they didn't have enough income to be caught up in this registration. In all the chaos of full inns and people to-ing and fro-ing to be registered, I wonder whether anyone even noticed the shepherds walking through the streets of Bethlehem. God does not wait for the perfect time. Jesus isn't born to a family with influence. And the first people to honor him and to proclaim the good news of his coming aren't religious leaders, but shepherds. They were outsiders, and now they're at the center of the story. How silently the wondrous gift is given. Over the past few weeks, in the lead up to Christmas, our 15-month-old son, William, has been getting really excited about all the Christmas lights going up in our neighborhood. And we have a window that's just at the right height for him. He can just see out. And there's a house across the road that's covered in lights. And so in the evenings, like between 4 and 6, he runs to the window to see the lights across the road at this house. The lights are a little bit strange. It's a Snoopy in a Santa hat, 2 minions and a Yoda Santa. So we're not really sure what he thinks is going on, but we're going with it because he's excited. And every evening between 4 and 6, he'll play a bit and then he'll run back to the window and look out and then he'll play a bit more and then he'll run back. Because as the evening goes on and as the light fades, the lights appear to get brighter and brighter and more exciting. But of course, the lights aren't actually getting brighter. The light just appears brighter because the night is getting darker. The first chapter of John tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." This incredible opening passage takes the place of the nativity that we hear of in Matthew and Luke. The Word of God, through whom all things are made, steps into this very creation. And this human being, this tiny baby in the stable in Bethlehem, is in some mysterious way the one through whom all things were made. And John tells us this Word of God, this God that we meet in this human being, this tiny baby, is life and the light of all people. I think we often think of this passage as being ethereal, kind of in our heads, philosophical, less grounded than the nativity stories. But one of the things I love about this passage is that it acknowledges that darkness is in our world. The light shines in the darkness. This has been a tough year for all of us. It's been a tough couple of years. We are tired and we are weary. This is an inconvenient time, perhaps a really difficult time to hear the good news again. Perhaps you don't know how to hear this good news again this year. But God is not waiting for the perfect time. Perhaps you feel like you're not enough. You're too tired. You're too sad. Perhaps you feel like you've lost your way, or perhaps you're not sure you've ever found it. But God is not waiting for you to get it together. Out of his great love, God created us, but he didn't leave it there. God loves us so much that he became one of us to be with us, that we might know him. That we might know how loved we are, exactly as we are, right now, right here, in this inconvenient time, and in this anxious and weary moment. The darkness of our world is real, but the light of God dwells with us. He walks with us. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not overcome it. What has come into being in him is life, and this life is the light of all people. Thanks be to God.